This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio dial, 92.9 FM or 680 AM. But if you want to stay up to date with everything happening here at 92.9 and you're away from the radio dial, you can download the Odyssey app. Free to download, free to listen, anytime, anywhere. Best way to stay up to date with everything that's happening right here at the station. Dennis Fuller's producer of the program for us. Glad that he is with us. My company today is, he is each and every Monday on the program. He, of course, is the head coach and team director of Team Thad of the Nike EYBL circuit. He's on Twitter, on X, at Dream Big Herd. Coach Herd, good day, sir.
Great day, great weekend of sports.
All right, let's tell everybody we got coming up on the program. Of course, it is a Monday, so we'll do some overreacting. A few things I wanted to get to. We'll start, I think, first with perhaps what could happen in the SEC as it pertains to the playoff. We had the big fight, of course. Netflix, I think, let's just say this. If I know NFL fans like I think they do, they probably need to figure a few things out, so we'll discuss that. Maybe get into the NFL a little bit as well. Jason Munn's going to join us like he does each and every Monday. Tigers move to 3-0. Heard they're a second-half team. They're just a second-half team, outscoring their opponents again by double figures in second half. They run away and hide from Ohio, so they are 3-0. I believe the next time we'll see them Friday is San Francisco, and then on Monday, a week from today, it'll be Maui time. So the Tigers taking on UConn a week from today. So we'll talk Tiger basketball with Munns. We'll get into the list. We had good news on the inside the NBA front. Of course, the pregame show with Shaq, Kenny, Chuck. I think it was a good decision, best for all parties. We'll tell you about that. We've had some more firings in the world of college football. We'll get into the games of the NFL weekend, and then we'll tell your story and get out of here. But I think let's start first here, Herd. Actually, let's start with a fight. Let's start with a big fight from Friday, because I was mentioning on the show last week, I understand combat sports in general. They get treated a little differently by what we would think of as mainstream media or legacy media. Although with ESPN, ESPN owns a part of the UFC. So it's not like that they ignore it. But I think what was very obvious to me on Friday night was I can't think of another sporting event that was a bigger sporting event that got less mainstream attention than that fight. Because Giannotto was telling me if he wrote about the fight, even like, you know, weeks before it, the story would do like the same numbers if he were writing about a Super Bowl story. He's like, it was insane the amount of attention and coverage that it got. Overall, I think the fight went about like most everyone thought. Like, it looked like a 28-year-old fighting a 58-year-old. But to me, the thing that really stood out was I know it was obviously going to be a massive fight. but Netflix better figure out how to make sure the stream doesn't go down, because that's the other thing. We're going to have the Christmas Day game, and they've already announced, did you see who's performing halftime, the Christmas Day game? Beyonce. So you think that's going to get, you think there will be one or two streamers that might fire that bad boy up on Christmas? So, and the other thing is, like, with the NFL, they're willing, like, they're clearly said, you know, we're putting the fans first, of course, as always. We're willing to make our fans pay more money so that they can watch our games when they're used to only having to pay, like, basically two things for it. But it better work. It felt like, from what I was seeing from people, stream wasn't working.
Oh, yeah, Netflix, it got up to ante, like you just said, because you got Chris Day, you got Beyonce. I think at one point, Jeffrey, I don't know if I read this wrong, some guy showed on his Twitter where he was trying to get on Netflix, and it was like, can't be right, but it was like 200 million, too. I know.
So I saw the upwards of 60 million, but that might have just been in the U.S. So it could have easily been worldwide.
Yeah, they was like saying, I had one screenshot, and I'll show you on break, it had 250. I'm like, oh, I see why this thing crashed, because I don't know if Netflix even expected that, because I didn't expect anything like that. But, yeah, they definitely got to get it together. Now, a lot of people was happy, Jeff, because a lot of people do got Netflix subscriptions.
Right, so they it wasn't like a pay-per-view. Because even if you have ESPN Plus, if you want to watch the big UFC fight, you got to order the UFC fight. Whatever. They'll give you some of the prelims for free, but if you want to watch the big fight, you've got to pay for it.
Yeah, this felt like you was getting in people's head, like you was getting a deal, you know, almost.
For sure.
Because it's like, oh, it's just on Netflix.
Right.
Oh, you can create an account quick, or I already have an account, so.
Can someone explain to me, because do we know final figures? Like, Paul supposedly made $40 million.
And Tyson made 20. That was what I read yesterday, but I don't know if that was the final figures or not, or that was the most legitimate update.
How did Netflix make money?
And that's what threw it off to me, because I'm like, okay, if it's a kind of free, I mean, exposure is everything. If it was 200 million people.
So I'm seeing the final figures that I saw were 60 million households. So now what people could have been doing was, okay, obviously, there's probably a few people that watched it. One person fired up Netflix and watched it by themselves. But what they're saying is, you know, four people watch per one stream. And so that's probably where the numbers
come
from.
The 240 come from. Did they account like for lounges and stuff? Because you know it was places showing the fight at like
so
bars.
That will come out later. Like I don't even know like how Nielsen subscribes Netflix subscribes to Nielsen. It's always going to be an estimate.
Okay.
So, but we do know that, I think we do know that 60 million households around the globe watched. So whatever your multiplier is, it's safe to say this. It's more than 60 million. Does that mean it was 500 million? Does that mean it's 204? I have no idea. Like, I don't even know how you could accurately estimate. But it seems likely to me that you could safely say per stream, probably what, three or four people watched per stream?
It's safe, probably.
Right? Because I feel like nobody watches those kind of fights alone.
No, not at all. Not at all. You're correct on that. Trying to keep up with the Netflix thing, like you say, or certain things these days is an estimate, Jeff. It's almost like a barber or somebody. Do you really know how much money they made, or a preacher, how much is they telling they putting on their taxes?
How much they declare how much they declare to the government is very different than maybe what take home was.
For sure. But it was awesome, like you said, and we talked off air. Man, whether you like Jake Paul or not, you know, some people did. Did you hear this, Jeffrey? Some people said Texas, when they initially came up with the fight, was not the destination they wanted, but some states said they wouldn't even approve of.
So, originally, what was this fight supposed to be last Thanksgiving? Because wasn't this, it's been delayed a couple times, because Tyson got hurt.
His health.
Right. He had a surgery, I think, as well. Mm-hmm. So it's been delayed, but I always thought originally it was going to be in Vegas. No, I thought it was going to be at the big stadium.
It was. I heard Nevada didn't want to. Nevada didn't.
They didn't
agree
want. They didn't want to,
because of the age and health. They started feeling a certain type of way
also,
about approving that.
Was Iron Mike on the gas?
He could have been.
Right.
He could have been.
Because, like, I mean, when he looks awesome. But, like, that was the other thing I was thinking. I was like, is this, like, a non-sanctioned fight? Because I'm not sure. Not sure Iron Mike will be passing the old P test.
Oh, for sure. But hey, Jerry, where he like, no, I'm going to get this approved. I know the governor's here.
Jerry probably helped him get the good stuff. It's like Vince McMahon. Like.
Yeah, but on the flip, I know guys, and I don't think it's jealousy. I understand the concern. But when you mention, you know, the Crawfords, the Canelos,
yeah.
even the good UFC fighters, and some of their concerns with getting paid. And that just lets you know how the world is. And you see a fight that maybe some people don't think is even real or competitive. And you get the number one sold out sporting event in their field. You get the, and for anybody who ever seen it, and we got the internet now, so you ain't got to personally see it. I done been a couple times. But the Dallas Cowboy Stadium got to be in the U.S. or the world a top five ever built exclusive.
I mean, it's our version of the Roman Coliseum.
For sure.
And I mean, it, I get it. It's like it's not.
And how many do you say is it?
So,
because they said it was like 68,000.
So you had floor everything. Like in that setting, if they want to sell 100,000 tickets, they can do it.
It might have been. I heard. I'm gonna look that up. But that's just amazing, man. Of what a world and where entertainment has went. And as far as like I say, whether you like him or not, the thing Jake Paul, like even when you said the main media wouldn't even getting behind it. I think Jake Paul have gotten it to a point. I think he did a good job, him and Tyson. First of all, everybody loves a comeback story. And whether you with boxing or not, everybody actually, Mike Tyson have won, even people who probably didn't like him back then because of Trump. Everybody liked the older Mike Tyson personality.
Yeah, I feel like almost everyone, like I remember like at the, when he was biting Holyfield's ear off, like there had been a lot of people that had turned on him.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like right now he's universally pretty popular because unlike a lot of people, he has been apologetic. Mm-hmm. You know, he said I was a bad person then. Like he has tried to be a better person, mm-hmm. and like he's very open and honest about it. I feel like Iron Mike right now has got a pretty good approval rating.
And that's why I say I think that made a great fight because like you say, from when he was accused or convicted from whatever, you know, the sexual allegation all the way to biting the ear. I feel like 70% of the world was against him at that point. Now, like you say, movies, he's looked at a fun granddad. People, a lot of people are tired of Jake Paul. A lot of people wanted Tyson to knock Jake Paul out.
I think the overwhelming majority of people were hoping that Jake Paul would get his ass beat.
Yeah, and this is where Jake
Except Paul, for if you put money on him or Vegas, because the bookmakers did not want that to happen because everybody was betting with their heart. Saying they wanted to see Iron Mike as an underdog and beat him.
And beat him.
Yes.
And so this is why I think Jake Paul was smart at. Even though I do think he has become a pretty good boxer, I think we were just watching all these practices of Iron Mike and training, and our heart was in it like, oh, Tyson still got it, no matter his age. And I think Jake Paul knew, like, I seen him a little more than y'all. He's still 58 years old.
And also, like, there's an element of selling the fight.
Like that smack?
You know what I mean? Like, if we would have seen a bunch of videos of him looking old and rusted, like, doesn't that detract people from wanting to watch it? Like, there's literally, like, the whole point of talking them into the building, like, that's what this is about. But, like, to me, the fight was not good, firstly. It also looked exactly like a 58-year-old fighting nearly a 28-year-old. But the bigger deal to me is, if Netflix is going to start becoming a much bigger player in the world of sports, which it seems likely, mm-hmm. we got to get the technical issues ironed out.
Yeah. you on Netflix. You know, the fight was garbage, but you're right.
Correct. Like, to me, it's like, I just know, like, in the end, all the leagues, they've all clearly, they tell us that it's all about the fans, mm-hmm. the fans. When in reality, we know it's all about money, money, money,
business,
money, money.
Business.
I get it. Like, I'm not an anti-capitalist here. But with that being said, I am someone who's very aware of all the ways that they're making us pay to watch their events. And all these leagues, Netflix has not been involved. Well, you want to bring Netflix involved. Why? That's new revenue. That's an additional. It's not like, oh, well, we got a new TV deal that's higher than the old one. But no, we're bringing in another potential bidding war. We're bringing in extra income on top of that. Like, So everyone is going to try to want to get some of this Netflix money because Netflix has actually been one of the streamers that has consistently been an operational business. Like so many of them have gone up, down, not sustainable. Netflix has been the one that has survived all the different iterations that it has to be. And because of that, they've been very hesitant to go all in on live sports. Like they've done a few of the kind of made for TV stuff. And then now we're going to see the Christmas Day games on with the NFL. But you also realize it's one of those things where it's like we love to make fun of how ESPN operates and whatnot. But it's like when it comes to broadcasting a game, an event, a sport, they know how to do it. And maybe your stream goes down, but it isn't ESPN going down. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of like, all right, man, this was kind of your test run to iron out the kinks. I hope they get them ironed out because to me, it also seems like part of the problem was a whole bunch of people wanted to watch this and they weren't prepared for a whole bunch of people wanting to watch this.
No, you correct. And it almost made me think, Jeff, like if it was on pay-per-view or something that happened, because it was some people
saying, oh my God, get it,
well, we would have been able to get refunds or something back or no, because like,
so it kind of depends. I feel like there was a big fight a couple of years back. Oh, no, I remember what it was. When Tiger and Phil first did the one-on-one match in Vegas, the golf match, mm-hmm. That was a pay-per-view. The pay-per-view crashed, and they did refund everybody.
Okay, yeah. So, and maybe Netflix had that on their side, too, because like you said, you do it this much, you can't do a test run. If everybody was right. Playing a test run, would have ended in another way, but... You're extremely right about Netflix, but just the brilliance to that fight. Again, I want to say a couple of things, Jeff, before we decide, you know, go wherever you want to go. The build-up, like you say, was so good that I actually, Jake Paul is so crazy. I know he told Tyson, smack me for real, because it was a real, I went and rewinded. It was a real smack when Tyson did. I think that made more customers. This might sound crazy too, Jeff, and this might sound a little... different, but some people, even before they was tuning in, it was all over all the spot. Tyson Butt is out. Was a big deal. No, I'm telling you, that became a big deal. Silly. And people was like, he's going to knock him out
of his ass. Yeah.
So, and this is another thing. I'm not a psychologist, Jeff, but I don't know if you have realized this because you have a kid now. You're going to see with kids, their brains are fragile. So what they watch in the early age and the cartoons and the cereal. But the reason some of these fights sell so good, too, and just things in general, adults' mind are not as strong as you think. The music and the movies and building the... Mm-hmm. We get caught up in some animated stuff, and we think a lot of stuff real that ain't real. And, you know, I'm one of the few people who thought wrestling was real for a long time. You know, up
until
I was...
It's real to me, dude.
Yeah, up until I was about 20 years old. No, like,
it's also, to your point... It's why I'm 36 and Vince McMahon still controls my brain. Like, in the end, everything's professional wrestling to mm-hmm. a certain degree. Mm-hmm. Like, it's all about how do I get people to care about this and then talk them into the building? Like, that's what this is. But, like, it's funny how, like, I feel like I can kind of see through it and then just watching people get mad. Mm-hmm. It's like... And it's why I don't have, like, the huge reactions when everyone sees, like, that video. It's like, I know what they're doing. They're trying to get you to watch the fight.
Yeah.
Like, that's what they want you to do. Like, can you believe that? Yeah. Like, are you familiar with the Paul's body of work? They're pretty good at doing some extreme things.
So, if Jeff, let me ask you this. With guys like Canelo and guys like that you know, and I'm not a Jake Paul hater, but we know... If they would kick his butt.
I am not a fan of the Pauls. I do tip my cap and appreciate those guys know how to make money, mm-hmm. and they are constantly working.
No,
and they're trying to think of, like, what's the next? Because to your point, like, hey, man, say what you want about the Pauls. They just got Iron Mike $20 million.
Yeah, they got 40. They worth more than every box.
I believe they got I think Serrano... I want to say Serrano got like $6 million.
So let me ask you this. For him to keep his money going, right, Because at this point, I don't know how you can out he can ever make more money than this unless he fight a Canelo or something. But we know it's a Canelo or Crawford or something. I'm not hating. They would probably really beat his butt. So,
That wouldn't even. I think it's like every time you see one of these fights, it is kind of a sideshow.
And then if you fight a Canelo and he don't win, then we all go know. And half of us know it's fraud, but it still have people who really think he's a great boxer. You know, it is
sure.
A group.
I mean, I think to your point, it would. If Canelo didn't win, you'd have to explain to me how he didn't win.
And at that point, the
gig
is over.
But if we watch it and we go, oh, they're just trying to make this a trilogy, like, yes, you're right. People would, I think. But that's why I kind of give them credits. Like, every time they do one of these things, it's never against, it's against an attraction, a name, but it's like 58-year-old Mike Tyson.
UFC fighters who really came by.
Correct.
Like NBA not, players.
Right. Yeah. It's attractions.
It's and it's like, impressive he can even beat them now, because these are still athletes now. Like
he's
been fighting older guys too, though.
I mean, I think both of them were like going to be D1 wrestlers. So like they have some skills. Now, are they willing, like, could they hang in the ring against the number one fighter in the world? Well, no.
What about just some people saying maybe just a good boxer period as they age? They don't think they can. What did you think? Like, because you know, like Nate Robinson was known. So even though he was a small guy, he was known to win street fights. I don't know if you heard about it. So that even though he was small, it was another sport. But the other guys have been UFC guys where they're known. You know, you can't even
right.
use their
feet. I think even if you took like whoever the 25th ranked boxer in the world is,
they would win.
Right? I would think they would win.
Yeah.
I mean, because in the end, like it's the other thing, like matched up weight class, whatnot. I do not think like I think that they are skilled. But I do not think, like, if you're going up against a trained world-class fighter, no.
Because boxing is UFC. I think it's hard to cross over because boxing is that you can only use your hands and more. Now, that one guy, what's the big guy that stayed in the ring with, he did take it the distance with, what's the white guy that beat Lennox Lewis, but then he came back and lost against Josh.
Gosh. Oh,
remember, he did really good.
Yeah. No, he shocked us by, like, because it went the distance.
Yeah, and then, so outside of him, a lot of UFC, I mean, would he fight John Jones next? Because I don't think any way you could get that type of, and John Jones, they say looking for a big, bigger one than he deserved, but I don't.
Yeah, I mean, he's clearly looking for a payday because he won't fight anybody right now. Like, he's trying to get, like, the easy, cheap wins.
Oh, that wasn't a good competitor he just fought?
No, he's ducking. He's, the UFC people are upset because he's ducking, like, the top talent. He's just trying to cash in on pay, which is like, all
that
right.
That still was a hell of a move. Did you see that spin kick he did?
Oh, yeah. But, like, you want to talk about someone truly crazy. I mean, Jones, like, and Kit, of course, didn't he pass a drug test? I mean, that's.
But do you think he could handle the boxing? Like, do you think that Jake would still have an advantage over him? Or would you still be a little nervous of John Jones?
I think John Jones would kill him.
And it's just a boxing match?
Yeah. I think, like, if you're talking about the average, like, let's just say, like, average good high school athlete, I think the Pauls are guys that would be, they could beat up those guys.
Mm-hmm.
But when we're talking about, like, prize fighters, no, I just don't think, I don't even think it's in the same category.
Who was the UFC black guy he beat that I thought was pretty good in UFC, though?
Was it the Brazilian guy?
No, the black guy. And he kind of knocked him out. This was, like, two fights ago. I thought that guy was a pretty decent UFC guy. Not the older guy he fought, like, but the...
All right, let's see. All right, we've had... Are you talking about the Diaz one?
Is his name Diaz?
All right, so here are his last fights. You tell me which one you're talking about. So he beats Mike Tyson back... On July, he beat Mike Perry.
That's the
he's the older, yeah, MMA guy.
Yep.
I say older. He's 33.
Okay.
Ryan Borland, Andre August, Nate Diaz. No, he beat Nate. Did he beat Nate? Tommy Fury beat him. Yeah, Anderson Silva. That's what I was thinking of. He's Brazilian. Looks black guy, but he's Brazilian.
Okay.
Anderson Silva. But the same thing. He was Like, his career was done. Like, he had so many injuries, whatnot. Like, he had been done. Like, those are the guys that, if you've noticed, there's like a trend of the type of guys he beats. Like, it's always someone at the very end of their career looking for a payday. So I guess you could say with Jones, maybe, but it still seems to me that Jones is closer to his prime than he is the end. Like, I think he's obviously on the back nine, but I still think he's like closer to still being elite. But he's also like a certified crazy person. All right. The other thing that I wanted to talk about, I want to get into, because let's talk a little Grizzlies. Because I want to pick your brain. So right now, the Grizzlies are in this weird spot where you're reintegrating your injured guys back to the lineup. But you've also been having some young guys play well. And now you're trying to kind of figure out, all right, what's the right way? What's the right spot for everyone? When Ja comes back, and Ja's talking like it's going to be sooner rather than later. But assuming everybody's at your disposal, and from what you've seen so far, what would your rotations look like? Because the one thing I think that everybody's kind of noticing is, all right, Jalen Wells is still staying in the starting lineup despite other guys being available. Now, obviously with Vince, to me with Vince, there's clearly some like getting back into game shape. So I'm not like saying, oh, clearly he's taken Vince's spot. I don't think that at all. But I am taking note of there are other options that you could put at three and he's still staying there.
Well, if everyone healthy, unfortunately, this is how the NBA works.
That doesn't happen, but yes, continue. Yeah.
I mean, I know this is going to sound stupid what I'm about to say, but we know Ja starting, right?
Yeah, yeah. The one, to me, the two no-duhs are Ja is starting, Jaren is starting. And honestly, I think you can even throw Ja, Jaren, and Dez.
Yeah, Dez is starting.
Correct. But when you say, so figuring out the rest, like how would you pair it up the rest?
I would do it a little different, but I actually think when everyone healthy, they're going to start Smart and Edie. I don't think it.
I think so too.
Because Smart is one of them guys that even though most people might think they would go with a little better scoring, I just think it's certain guys is in the NBA that they go respect, like a coach go respect on the roster because of like, you know, whatever reason, years put in, toughness, probably leadership.
Let's also not discount this. And I'm not saying this is how all the decisions get made. You're paying him $22 million.
Some decisions are made like that, though.
You know what I mean? Like, I mean, in the end, why was Deshaun Watson playing quarterback? Because he had a guaranteed contract, and Haslam said, we're playing him.
Yeah, that's a different story, but he definitely
correct.
Play.
I'm not saying, to be clear, I'm not saying Marcus, but I'm saying there are decisions that get made based on which guy am I paying.
No, that happens. Yeah, and you have to. So I think that'll be the five. And then what's the other guy? It came from the Lakers in Virginia. They've been doing good.
Jay Huff. Huff if you buck.
He's been good.
He's been really good.
And you know, I told you this summer.
Now, I should say this. He's been really good scoring.
Yeah.
He's hitting a lot of shots. I'm not certain about his defense. But to be very clear, when you took a flyer on a two-way, you have to say this guy has been successful.
That's overly successful. We're talking the two-way.
Correct.
And then, like I told you this summer, like you said, D-Rose gave him one up. And I know some people at the time agreed or disagree. He was going to be a two-way. You know, I told you that I really thought I had seen enough of Scottie Pippen Jr. I thought that he deserved a real spot. And I praise D-Rose every time I come on here for that because it's so many guys like a Scottie Pippen, but the organization, you're going to have to wait 2-3 years because of the D-Rose is not stepping down and because – you have to go that route, and then by that time, you might not even be as good in the loop no more. We didn't draft, you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, so much of life is like having the opportunity when you're playing well, like whatever that looks like. You're on a heater, whatnot, like getting in the right spot at the right time, or maybe getting away from a franchise that has to clear out and do everything to cater to, shall we say, your aging superstar son, and. Did you see they're not letting him, he's only playing home G League games?
Yeah, but I don't think that's good, though.
I'm with you.
You know, because now he just hit 4 points yesterday. I know we're not going here with it, and it's like, the less y'all letting him play, he can't, it's going
to
be worse.
It goes back to what you and I talked about all summer. You ever seen somebody develop that didn't play?
And I get it, he don't want to Right, on regular airplanes and on the bus.
I don't think it's that. I think it's they don't want him to go to other arenas and get heckled.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I don't know if you know this, how G League players live. Some of them take 13-hour buses.
Absolutely.
I'm thinking there's a little of that, too. I don't think he ever had to do stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm not saying... I think it's one of those things where I don't know if it's, like, one specific thing. Mm-hmm. I think that clearly... Like,
when think about it, Bronny James, a 13-hour bus, come on, man, a charter bus, like,
absolutely.
Any bus he done rode on with his family, I'm sure it'd have been decked out, got...
Any bus that he's ever ridden on, you and I couldn't afford.
Yeah, like multiple beds in it, you know, and so the G League is not always as sexy as it's built up to be or whatever. Like, I'm not sure he done rode on regular plane. Even that AAU team we played against, they were coming in on private charter flights. When I was playing
Here's a fun thought exercise. When is the last time LeBron flew commercial?
That's what I'm saying. Bronny probably never flew commercial before. So even the United flights that me and you, they were saying, I think that's true, too.
Can you see, though, where he'd send the wife and kid? Like, whatever. If they're, like, going to...
No.
You don't think ever?
Not his LeBron James wife. I think LeBron would get on playing before he'd send Gloria James.
Mm-hmm, Gloria's mom. Savannah's
wife. My Savannah. I'm sorry. Yeah. Both of them. No, I'm telling you, I know guys who weigh less than LeBron James that I'm close to, and they barely go commercial.
So the only way, let's be real, the only way, based on this, the only way Bronny's ever flown commercial was if, like, he did a school trip and they flew.
I'm going to be real with you. I actually think LeBron and them have took care of the trip and said, we just go fly. Because that's what people with money do, where they won't look out of place. They are, well, like when what's the Texas Cowboys owner? When his grandson played for the Titans and it was the other billionaire, they would fly them all private to all the Nike events or whatever. Like, yeah.
Never flown commercial.
I love the thought of, like, you and I know the greatest feeling in the world is if you are sitting there and you get upgraded to first class. But the thought of, like, Bronny not even knowing, like slumming it would be flying first class. Like, that would be sacrificing.
Yeah. This funny story. I'm talking to a guy, pretty lot of money, not LeBron money, right? So, the private jets were all out. So, he was flying here,
poor
right?
Guy.
Yeah, the private, something happened where he didn't
schedule
in
time.
So,
did he have to fly prop plane?
So, he had to, you know, take a regular, like, Delta. So.
Yeah, commercial
he's
flight.
Nervous. He's calling me, like, they saying it's going to take off, not at 3 anymore, 4, like, what is going on? And I'm just like, no, that happens. Like, you know, that happens.
Welcome to our world.
Yeah, like that happens. Like, they can delay flights. They do this.
They can find out that the flight's only 20% full, and all of a sudden it has a mechanical failure.
Stuff like that. Yeah. So, and then on the way back, he was really hurt. He couldn't get his same flight. He had to go Southwest, and he was like, they didn't even give me a number on my seat.
You are.
And so I think he's through with commercial flights because he had two bad experiences real quick.
God, could you just imagine every time you fly, it's just $15,000?
That's the flip side when I look at some of the, and that could be one way.
Yeah, I mean, most of it, that's the way.
That's one way.
Yeah, it's like based on the hour. All right, let's take a break. Let's talk some Tigers. We'll do that next with Munz right here on Jeff Wright and Company 92.9.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
NFM, ESPN.
But Jeff McCool.
It's never too early to start thinking about the big game. And going on all month, Zen Sports, the new sports book here in Tennessee, they've launched a brand new sweepstakes for all Tennessee customers, the Big Game Sweepstakes, where you could win a grand prize of two tickets to Super Bowl 59 in New Orleans or $10,000 cash. And what's more is that Zen Sports is also awarding 50 additional prizes, which include two tickets to any Tennessee sporting event or $100 cash. If you want in on the action, you can earn multiple entries every day by just betting on the Zen Sports app. For every bet you place, you'll earn one entry, and for every dollar you bet, earn an additional entry. And if you like parlays, you can earn double the entries on every parlay placed. So what are you waiting for? Sign up for Zen Sports today. Go download the app, and our listeners can take advantage because if you sign up with my promo code JeffTN, J-E-F-F-T-N, you can receive an additional 25% odds boost when you sign up with the promo code JeffTN. Start betting with Zen Sports. Download the app today. Zen Sports, betting just got better. For problem gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789. Jason Munns joins us each and every Monday on the program. We, of course, the Commercial Appeals Tiger basketball beat writer. Munns, what are we listening to?
This is Wire Jeffrey. It's the band is called Wire. The song is called Champs. Fantastic punk band from the 70s. Very influential. Highly influential. R.E.M., Blur, Sonic Youth. They were all noted Wire fans.
So, like them and Fugazi?
Yeah, sure.
I remember it was Fugazi, Fugazi. I don't know. Never know.
They're like the Ramones, but darker. They're like the dark version of
they're
the
like
Ramones.
The Cure of the Ramones.
Something like that.
Yeah, there you go. Let's talk some Tiger basketball. Let's start with Friday night, because, Munz, I'm starting to wonder, are we developing a trend? Whatever happens to the Tigers in the first half, just go immediately bet them in the second half?
That game Friday was something else. It was like P.J. Haggerty couldn't miss in the first half, and then Tyrese Hunter couldn't miss in the second half, and then Nicholas Jourdain very nearly for the second straight game didn't miss. He's
quietly having a great season, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, we're three games in, but yes, he is kind of been the glue. Like when Tyreek Smith left, like that put some pressure on Nicholas Jourdain, and Penny even said that out loud on the record. And boy, has he responded, man! Like he was 5 for 5 against UNLV, and then he was 5 for 6 against Ohio, and is just doing like a lot of really good things. He's blocking shots. He's getting rebounds. He's getting steals and helping the team win some games. And it feels weird to say this, but I guess, well, maybe not. Offensively, you don't get much better than what they did, than how they performed against Ohio last Friday. It was especially from three, when they set a new program record for 3-point field goal percentage in a single game, 72.2%, which is just nuts.
So I guess that's the other question, though. How much of the performance is just clouded in, man, they shot the ball incredibly? Because, like, I keep going back to, as fun as, like, the Wichita State win was last year, it showed that that was not a repeatable offensive performance. So if you set aside the shooting performance, do you feel like this team is still playing well in general?
I think so. I mean, that you do bring up a very good thing. Like, that's a good discussion topic because, you know, the first two games followed a similar script. It was not pretty at all in the first half, and then in the second half they kick it into another gear and take off. This game was a little different than that. It was competitive, really, for about three quarters of the game, and then in the last eight or so minutes, they just put their foot down and ran away from Ohio. And I mean, so far, it has been the offense that has sort of carried this team. I mean, you know, against Missouri, they turn up the heat defensively early in the second half, and that, you know, serves as a spark. But I don't think that the defense has necessarily carried the Tigers to a win yet. And you do wonder that when the shots, if there comes a time when the shots aren't falling, like they didn't necessarily do in the North Carolina and Alabama games, exhibition games, you do wonder if that, you know, like if they're capable of picking things up in other areas to overcome it and win those games. I mean, we'll have to wait and see, but it is something to think about, for sure.
We're talking, of course, with Jason Munns, Tiger basketball beat writer for the CA. And the other thing I wanted to talk about was you mentioned PJ Haggerty. Again, sample size being the operative caveat. We're only three games in. Mm-hmm. But it sure does seem to me like PJ is offering the same things that you thought you were getting from David Jones. And like, to me, like, I think you might even get a little bit more on the defensive end. Like, I think so far, like, to me, it looks like they found a pretty good replacement.
It's 3 years in a row now. So, 2 years ago you had Kendrick Davis, who finished he was second. He is still second all time in single season points at Memphis. David Jones is seventh, I believe, with what he did last season. And I mean, at the rate PJ Haggerty is going, like, who knows? You know, like, maybe number one? I don't know. I think it's entirely
possible, because when you also consider, like, the reason why Kendrick was able to put up so many numbers, because he was option number one. Like,
yeah.
And for a while, like, it took the Tigers a while to kind of, like, settle on David being option number one. Like, PJ is going to have the benefit of basically being option number one since game one.
Until further notice, I would say so. And the interesting thing about PJ Haggerty is that, I mean, like, that was the thing that everybody was talking about this offseason. Like, yeah, he was great at Tulsa last season. He was great. But Tulsa sucked.
Yeah. Like, was it empty, you know, good numbers on a bad team?
Yeah. So, like, is he capable of, you know, providing meaningful production? And so far, the answer is yes. He's rebounding the ball. He's playing good defense. He's getting his teammates involved. He's still scoring points. It's even getting better. Like, the first two games, four games, counting the exhibition, like, he wasn't shooting the three very well. And you know, it's one game. Let's not get too carried away. But man, did he! I mean, he was on fire in that first half. I forget whether he finished with four or five three-pointers, but like, if that right there is even close to, you know, repeatable, then I mean, you know, like, I think we have our answer. Like, about you know, when we're talking about the concerns that I was just mentioning about him. You know, yeah, he was great last year, but it was on a terrible team. Like, the wins didn't come. Well, I think we're pretty close to having our answer. It wasn't about him not being able to impact winning. It was more about, it says more about what, the team that he was on than anything about him, I think.
4 of 5 in the first half from three, 6 of 7
Crazy.
From the floor. So, I mean,
it was It was something to watch. And like I said, if he can give you what, 2 to 3 threes a night?
I mean, I think if he just shoots somewhere around what, 35% yeah. on, yeah, I'm with you. Like, go, you know, hey, 2 of 7 every night. I think that they'll take that.
If he gives you that, and Colby Rogers can pick it up and get back to what he is known for and what he's done his entire career, and PJ, you sprinkle in a little PJ Carter and a little bit of Nick Jordan and a little bit of Tyrese Hunter from three, then yeah, I think they've got something, which is crazy considering that as a team. And yeah, it was against North Carolina and Alabama, a couple of pretty good teams, but they shot 16% from three in the exhibition season, which it's a head scratcher a little bit, considering that they are number one in the country. 3 games in, 2 weeks, roughly 2 weeks into the basketball season, or almost 3 weeks now, I guess. They are number one in the country in 3-point field goal percentage.
All right, we've seen 3 games, and again, we have no idea context-wise what it does or doesn't mean. But from what your expectations were coming into the season, and you were someone that was certainly higher on the roster, I think, maybe than the general consensus, but there's plenty of people that agreed with you. Do you feel any differently now that you've seen them through 3 games? Is there anything you feel better about, worse about? How are you judging based on what you were expecting coming into the season?
I'm still where I was. I don't know that Missouri is going to be any better than people thought they were going to be. I think they're going to be better than they were last year, for sure. But I don't know that they're going to be better than what people thought they were going to be. Same goes for UNLV. They were picked to finish 5th in the Mountain West. I think that's probably about right.
Yeah.
Ohio, I know they were picked to win the MAC. And honestly, I think they will. I really do. I genuinely believe that if they can get Sharif Mitchell back, former Creighton guard, if they can get him back healthy and keep everybody healthy, I really think they're going to win that league, which, you know, say what you want about the MAC. I don't know if it speaks to the quality of the league or to how good they might be. But no, the point is, I think that Ohio is going to be what I and others thought they were going to be. So the point is, I'm still about where I was. I really think Thursday is going to tell us a lot. Going to San Francisco, yeah, it's on a neutral floor, but technically, but it's in San Francisco. On their way to Maui, they're going to play the Dons, who beat Boise State it was...
like an 11-point game, I think.
Yeah, it wasn't a blowout, but it was fairly convincing. And this is a Boise team that was picked to win the Mountain West that just beat Clemson yesterday, I believe it was, by double digits. So Boise's, you know, pretty good, which tells me that San Francisco is pretty good. So I think, you know, depending on what happens Thursday, I think we'll have a better, or at least I'll have a better feel for whether Memphis is going to be what I thought they were or not. And, you know, I don't know that I ever like put a prediction on the non-conference record.
Well, it's hard because next Monday we have no idea who they are and who they're not going to play. We just know they're playing UConn on Monday.
Yeah. Odds are they're going to, 2 of the 3 opponents are going to be pretty good.
Yes.
At least. And then, you know, the third opponent at least isn't going to be terrible. If that's Colorado. Or Dayton on Wednesday. But I genuinely think that, 8-5, if they can, and I think that's well within reach. That means that if they're going to go 8-5 in the non-conference, that means they're going to go 5-5 over their next 10, which I think they will. And again, I think 8-5, you'll take it against this schedule. I mean, Arkansas State is really good. San Francisco is really good. The teams they're going to play in Maui are really good. Ole Miss, I just watched them on Saturday in South Haven at the Landers Center. They're really good. So, you know, they're going to have the schedule we thought Memphis was going to have, unlike seasons past where you know, the last two or three seasons, it's been like, oh man, this is going to be a really good schedule. And then it turns out to absolutely not be. I mean, last year was pretty good with Clemson, well, not Virginia, but Clemson and some others. But I mean, up and down the non-conference schedule, I think this one's going to hold up pretty well. And if you get 8-5 out of that non-conference, then you have something.
What'd you make of Ole Miss?
So Padula's really good. And they have, obviously they have Jalen Murray. They have a really good 1-2 punch in their backcourt. You know, either guy can, you know, be like a takeover, point guard. And then Morrell, it was his first game back after missing a little bit of time. So he's a little bit rusty, it looked like, but obviously he's who he is. He'll be fine. I liked what I saw out of Brown Jones. It was his third or fourth game as a Rebel, and you know, I hadn't really watched any of their other games, but I know that he was only averaging 2 points a game going in, and he scored 11 or 13 or something like that. And Malik Dia he's got a little turnaround baseline jumper that is like, it looks like he has patented that.
Yeah.
He hit it like three or four different times against Colorado State, and you know, guys were in his face just about every time, and he hit them all that I saw. I don't know that he missed any. I'm not sure why the metrics aren't higher on Ole Miss than they are.
They had a bad game against Grambling, and then their offense has been a little inefficient.
Yeah, well, they were clicking pretty good against Colorado State. I think they led by as much as 24 or something at one point, and Colorado State got back into it. They cut it, I think, to 9 in the second half, but they only committed 4 turnovers. Ole Miss did. You know, they shot, I think they shot some really good percentages. It's just yet another, going to be another tough game. I was talking to somebody about Arkansas State last week, and, you know, that's, you know, don't sleep on the Red Wolves. Don't sleep on many of Memphis' non-conference opponents. Louisiana Tech, throw them in there. It's going to be a gauntlet.
All right, before we let you go, we did get the news today. Tyreek Smith is headed to Kansas State
to complete an earlier trade. He was the
correct
player to be named.
Yeah, that was the player to be named
last year.
It doesn't help, shall we say, deter my suspicion that maybe it was Tyreek trying to go back for a little bit more money. I always feel like when you're trying to bump up your NIL pay, Kansas State's a good program to have in the mix.
Yeah, I mean, that's really what it all boiled down to. That's what I was told when it was happening, and nothing that has happened since then or anything that I've heard since then would lead me to believe that it was anything more than NIL. Sure, I mean, like, again, was there a chance that he was like, he saw the writing on the wall as the season was getting closer, that he was probably going to be coming off the bench more than not? Could that have contributed a little bit to his disgruntled attitude? Sure. But at the end of the day, it was about NIL. And so, going to Kansas State doesn't really do anything to shoot that down.
It certainly is not changing my mind.
Right, exactly. So it's done. He's gone, and that's that.
All right. And then, lastly, you mentioned speaking with Penny last week. I believe it was Wednesday at the media availability that he's still open to the idea of whether or not LeBron has any more eligibility, perhaps adding LeBron. But do you suspect that they are going to add someone else at the semester?
I mean, they're going to try. They are going to give it.
The old college try.
They're going to really put a lot of effort into getting at least one player, if not multiple players. But you know, the fact of the matter is, there's just not, you know, I mean, they're just really at this particular moment in time, as we speak right now, the options and the people in the transfer portal Like, the options just aren't there. Especially, I mean, like, there's certainly nobody as good as Naquan Tomlin currently available. And there may not be anybody as good as Tyreek Smith who's available right now. So, you know, I mean, we're talking about Penny Hardaway here. And I mean, I would never, ever count him out, you know, to pull some sort of rabbit out of his hat. And so, again, I have no doubt whatsoever that they are going to make a strong push to get somebody added to this roster in time to help them this season. But it just, you know, the right player has to be available, and as we sit here today, that's not the case.
All right, my man, we appreciate it.
Okay, thanks.
Jason Munns, Tiger basketball beat writer for the Commercial Appeal. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into the list. We have good news on the Inside the NBA studio show front. We'll talk about that. Also, we've had another coach in the AAC get fired today. I think we technically had two get officially fired today, but we'll discuss all that and more. Also get into the NFL during hour number two. Stick around. You're listening to Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.